When you think about the 4 million or so Palestinian refugees spread across the Mideast in UN camps, you don't automatically think about many of them being Christian. But on a recent trip to Lebanon, I visited one camp of Palestinian refugees from the 1948 Arab-Israeli War that's made up almost entirely of three generations of Christians who fled the conflict. Some 600 Palestinian Christian and more than 100 poor Lebanese families live in Dibaye camp today. It is a squalid hillside sprawl of ramshackle shacks and beat-up cars just north of Beirut. During Lebanon's war, mostly throughout the 70s and 80s, the camp was severely damaged and destroyed. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, runs a small school there for the some 150 kids, but most families feel forgotten and discouraged. Lebanon refuses citizenship to Palestinian refugees and their children, and that means no access to national social and health services. And they're excluded from being able to work in 72 professions. They're left with the menial manual jobs nobody else wants. Well, Maria is a Christian aid worker from Europe who has lived in the camp for more than 12 years. She asked to remain anonymous, so that's not her real name. I asked her, what are the challenges facing this unusual Christian community in Lebanon?
Christian Palestinian refugees aren't really loved by their brothers, the Muslims, because they're Christians. But they're neither loved by the Lebanese because they're Palestinians, so which gives them a kind of isolated statute. I think they have big challenges in like brotherhood and solidarity, but when it comes to going back to Palestine, I think very few people think of going back to their home country.
Because they don't want to, or they have given up hope that they will ever really be able to go back?
The younger generation doesn't even think about it. They just want to be Lebanese, have a Lebanese nationality, work here, study here, and have their families here. The older people who might have some homesickness to Palestine, but to a certain extent they think there's no hope anymore to go back.
What about the local Christian community in Lebanon? Have they expressed any sort of solidarity towards this Christian camp?
No, not that I know of.
How many families are actually here? And how many children would be among them?
There are almost 600 Palestinian families and about 120 Lebanese families, because from the beginning people were going and coming, and also Lebanese were displaced people and they came during the war.
And how are they making a livelihood? Are they receiving any assistance? When I walked into the camp, I actually saw an UNRWA, a small office of the United Nations Palestinian Refugee Agency.
The Palestinians are working as laborers, unskilled laborers, most of them. But there are also foreign laborers in the country, so which makes that the Palestinians don't have many chances in finding a job, which is, I mean, for other Lebanese people, the same. Women are sewing in small ateliers, or the girls, they work like vendeuses. They sell things. Mm-hmm. They work in a grocery store as a cashier or something like that.
And the men?
Most of the men are unskilled laborers. Mm-hmm. And the Lebanese, of course, they're fishermen.
Mm-hmm. And what about schools, education for the young people here?
There's the UNRWA school. The UNRWA doesn't have so many services offered, and their budget is also slowing down. There's the UNRWA school, but then they have to go for the last 2 years before terminal schooling. They have to go to another governmental school, which is not expensive, but costs. A couple of them are able to continue university, but most of them are not able. And even if they finish university and they have a degree, they're not able to exercise 72 professions. So there's many chance in obtaining a good job, even if they have the qualifications and even if they have the degrees.
Now, as a foreigner working among these people, what was their reaction when you first came in and offering assistance?
The fact that we've been here with them and living with them makes it much easier because they've become our family. So it's much easier to offer service to somebody who you consider to be your sister or your brother or whatever. They were not hostile at all. They were just welcoming, and as they have been rejected by many other people, they were just grateful. Oh, yeah, too.
And what about the pastoral care of this small Christian community? I've heard that there's actually a church and there are some nuns who are taking care of the community. How does that work?
I think like in other parishes, the church is there. There are two rites. There is a Greek Melkite and there is a Maronite rite. Both churches have priests. One is living in. He's one of the Lebanese Maronite monks. The other one is an unmarried Greek Catholic priest, and he's not living in this parish. They have the usual services like for death and funeral, for sacraments. They also have Mass on Sunday, but for the rest, there's not really that much of pastoral care. There are many movements, there are many organizations, youth and women and older people, and they're well organized.
It must be a very frustrating job for you, working amongst these people who must themselves be so frustrated by their condition, not being able to work, not being able to have access for their children of a fine education, and their dreams are not being fulfilled, and I'm sure yours aren't either. What do you feel about working in these conditions?
I think it's terrible, and it's not justice. There should be justice and the right of to learn and to be able to find a job and to live happily. But those people just don't have it. And so many people are suffering from depression, especially the women. Because, you know, the men, they kind of, you know, go out of the house and they have leisure somehow. But the women, they just stay in the house, most of them, and take care of the kids and will also always deprive themselves from things they want to give to the kids. So they're most of it, they're the victims, and they're so depressive, they just don't see any future at all. And many of them take antidepressants.
In your work, how do you try to help them overcome that state of mind, the depression, the frustration of their daily lives?
Well, I would say that listening to them is the first requirement. Feeling with them, listening to them, and then there is also, if they will need skilled help, there is also a psychologist coming to the camp. This was arranged last year when she started coming, and this is a very good thing for the camp. So some people take profit of that. I would say listening, okay, living with them, and trying to do some activities together. Knowing that solidarity ties them all over the world, not just in this camp. Could be with other people, could be with schools from other countries, with age groups, and working together, having some projects. Just try to build some self-esteem, which they sometimes lack.
Well, the three Belgian Sisters of Nazareth who live in the camp do more than just listen to the problems of the refugees. They got schools in Belgium to fund an operation for a 12-year-old girl suffering from a degenerative skin disease. I talked to her mother, Janet Hanouche.
We are waiting for this operation maybe 2 years to get some help. Some help to do this operation.
Mm-hmm. And finally, one of the sisters here in the camp was able to get funding from schools, who children in Belgium who raised money for this operation. So you are very lucky, but I think
many other people
weren't.
I always thanks God for this because they help us always, and they pray to us to somebody help us always.
And what is your hope for your children? You said you have six children.
Yes, I hope they will have a good job and good family. So, and maybe I hope to go to my family outside, my family in Sweden. I like to go there.
I know it's very difficult here in Lebanon for Palestinians to even have jobs. So what does that mean for you and your children?
You know that they didn't like to learn. I have the second daughter, Serani, she knows, she's very clever. She said, I want to have a... Why? I can't have any job. Look, my sister, she haven't any job. And you said, you must learn. But she said, no way.
How are you able to live? What sort of income do you have to buy the food, to pay for your car, gasoline?
You know, we live in a poor family. Maybe we have some for fruit, some for once a day, matlam, mish every day. When I have money, I bring everything. When I haven't, we didn't talk.
And you don't eat.
Sometimes.
Well, Janet's good sense of humor may be the only thing keeping her sanity in a country some say the international community has forgotten. The Pontifical Missions Office in Beirut helps the Sisters of Nazareth provide social and medical services to the Dubai refugees. Regional Director Issam Bishara says one of the big challenges facing agencies like his is to make sure Lebanon is not forgotten.
During the years of war, the amount of aid that used to come to Lebanon used to be much, much more than what we're getting now. But I think part of our job as NGOs is to keep the awareness with the donor agencies and keep informing them about the difficulties that Lebanon is still facing. It's true we have a government, it's true we have now established a system, but what the donor agencies should know is that the government has a debt of almost $40 billion, and we're talking $40 billion for a small country like Lebanon, and this makes the economic situation very, very difficult. Very few social services are provided by the government. The hospital sector is suffering. Private hospitals are not getting paid what the government owes them. The educational sector, there's a large problem there because there aren't enough public schools for the kids to go to, so they have to go to private schools, which are very expensive. I don't know if you've noticed as well, I mean, the social services provided to the people are very, very few. Minimum salaries are beyond what people actually need to live decently. The minimum wage is $200, while according to the UN, the poverty line falls under $800. So there's a big gap between what someone gets as a salary provided by private or public sector and what he really needs to live.
And my thanks there to the Regional Director for the Pontifical Missions Office in Beirut, Issam Bishara, shining the light there on Lebanon.